Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and we are going through the book of Daniel. We have reached all the way into chapter 10 of Daniel, and let's jump back into our text here. Daniel 10, verse 12, and if you missed the first hour, it will be in the archives later today, and if you missed it, you should catch up with it, because we discovered a few things and believe we confirmed some things, especially about the 2300 days. We found confirming scriptures that say that that should be translated and interpreted as a literal 2300 days. A revelation for me. Perhaps I'm a latecomer, but I haven't heard it from anyone else. But I'm certain that I can't be the only one or the first one that's come up with the scriptures to put that together. Anyway, Daniel is, who came? Gabriel comes to Daniel and he's speaking to him. And he says, "Fear not, Daniel," in verse 12 of chapter 10. "For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." And I have no idea. That's something that obviously is going on a spiritual realm, in the spiritual realm, on another level. Speaking of Michael, one of the chief princes, and the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Of course, we're not talking about the king of Persia, but we're talking about some kind of prince, some kind of heavenly power that withstood him. I'm not going to say much more about that, because we'll just accept what he tells us here. Anyway, he continues in verse 14, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." And, of course, I think we have to refer back to the visions, and we have to understand what shall befall thy people. And who is thy people in the latter days? And, of course, we're talking about Daniel's people. And if Daniel's people are Israel, specifically the remnant that is left behind of Judah and whatever of the other tribes that were not taken captive and carried away and scattered among the nations by that time, that could be brought back together in the land with the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple. So now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. And what are the latter days? Of course, the latter days would be the end, the last days of the kingdom, the mortal kingdom of God on earth, which is Israel. And so let's understand what we're talking about here and who he's talking to and what people he's talking about. He says, "For yet the vision is for many days." And it says, "For yet the vision is for days." And the word days is plural. The word many is added. So, you know, you can take that as it is. Verse 15, "And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb." And it seems like that happens a lot when Daniel is confronted. He ends up with his face on the ground a lot. "And behold, like the similitude of the sons of men, touched my lips." So one like the similitude of the, so one who was like a man. He was like a man, and he touched my lips. And this is Daniel describing this guy, you know, the one who touched his lips, saying that he was like the sons of men, that he appeared as a man, basically, is all he's saying here. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, and I said unto him that stood before me, "O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength." You know, I think here's a clue as to what happened to Daniel that is recorded for us in chapter 8, because he says, "By the vision my sorrows are turned upon me." So and here's a man that, who loved his people. He loved the nation Israel. And I find this throughout the scripture, through all of the great patriarchs and through all the great men of God, that they loved the people. They had a great love for the people. And so Daniel says, because of the vision, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I've retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again, and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. So, you know, whether it's the same one, or he says, then there came again and touched me. And he's perhaps talking about the same being here. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yes, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me these things, but Michael your prince. So this Gabriel, I guess it's Gabriel, but he describes him as one who looks like the man, obviously has powers beyond the man, because he touches him, sets him upright, he touches him, and he regains his strength by his word. And he says, and of course he speaks of Michael, your prince. So who is the Michael, your prince? Well, there are many believe that Michael was Yahushua to the angels. Could be true. Perhaps it is. Perhaps it is not. I don't know. I'm not going to say it is or it isn't, because I'm not willing to jump to conclusions in any way. But there's a good possibility, because he says he calls him your prince. And let's continue on. I really can't determine anything from this little conversation here, except that there's something going on in the spiritual realm, which is not really being revealed in its fullness here. So that ends chapter 10. But with him saying, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture, so of truth. So he's going to say, I'm going to reveal you to the truth of something that's noted in the scripture. And he says, there is none that holdeth these things, holdeth me, with me in these things, but Michael your prince. So he's saying there's no one else who shares these things with me or knows these things, except but Michael your prince. And of course, a reference to another angel, Michael, of course, Gabriel being one angel. Whether Michael is just another angel or he is the way that the angels like Gabriel saw Yahshua and called him Michael, I don't know. It is, like I said, it is possible, but it's not doctrinally that important to me and never will be, at least not now. Perhaps it may be in the future, but right now it does not seem like an important point or a point that should be something that we contend over. So Daniel 11:1. Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And I believe this, I don't know why there's a separation between Daniel 10 and chapter 11 here, because it seems to be a continuity. Chapter 9 is very short, it's only 21 verses, but it seems to continue on in chapter 11 like there's no break. So, but maybe a break in the language, because he says also I. In the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. I guess the question here is, who's standing, who's confirming, and who's strengthening here? So I believe it's still this angel, or this one who appears as a man, most probably Gabriel, who is still speaking. And he says, And now I will show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the four shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. And a mighty king shall stand up and shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and to be divided toward the four winds of heaven. You know, and here we have a repetition of what's going to happen in Babylon or Persia. And then, of course, we see Alexander the Great rising up. And then we see his kingdom being broken and divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity. So, and we know that the kingdom of Greece did not go to the posterity or the offspring of Alexander, but it went to four generals, nor according to his dominion which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes he shall be strong above him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion, and in the end of years they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north and make an agreement, but she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand nor his arm, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begot her, and he that strengthened her in these times, but out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail, and shall also carry captives into Egypt, their gods with their princes, with their precious vessels of silver and gold, and he shall continue years more than the king of the north. So basically, Daniel's getting details here, which perhaps we'll get into next time. But right now, I'm going to continue with Daniel, and I'm not sure the details are important, because these are the details of the kingdoms that arise and fall between the time that Daniel's living in to the time of the Messiah. Right now, none of this goes off into the future, except there are a few allusions as to the Roman Empire and its final end, as we've seen that as we've gone through, but very small allusions to that so far. Let's continue on. We're in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 8. And shall also carry captives. Okay, we read that, Egypt. So verse 9. So the king of the south shall come unto his kingdom, and shall return to his own land. But his son shall be stirred up, and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come, and overflow, and pass through, and then shall he return and be stirred up, even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with anger, and he shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north, and he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. And you know, I'm sure that as Daniel is hearing this, and as I'm reading it, it's just swirling around in his head, as it is in mine. But it is recorded here so that the children of Israel reading this could know what was going to happen, and they could watch it unfold as history unfolds, as using the historist's interpretation of prophecy. So basically, that's why this is given. Not that Daniel would understand it unless he's giving a specific interpretation, but there's so much being said here that there would have to be a very detailed and specific interpretation of things that Daniel had not seen yet. And when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, he shall cast down many 10,000s, but he shall not be strengthened by it. For the king of the north shall return, and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. And what is the robbers of thy people? So, you know, we're talking about something that is going to happen while we still have a national Israel, such as it is on the earth, because he's speaking to Daniel, and he's talking about the robbers of his people. And let's see, what is this? Including grandson. I don't know why they call them the robbers of thy people. We have two here, tyrants or destroyers, or so we have the destroyers or the tyrants of his people. Why they interpret it robbers, I don't know, but we'd have to ask the King James translators. But basically, it is a violent or a tyrant person who is in government, or the government of Israel. So it's talking about here the government of Israel being tyrannical and violent. So it says, also the robbers of thy people are the tyrant and tyrannical, violent people of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. So they're going to fall too. So the king of the north shall come and cast up and mount and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, referring back again to Israel, is going to fall in all of this tumult and all of this confusion and violence that is going on amongst the nations of Israel. He says, "Thy people shall fall," and he says, "They shall neither his chosen people will withstand, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his will. None shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed." So who was the hand of him who finally consumed? And I would believe that the consummation there would be the destruction, the complete annihilation of the Holy Land. So we know that we're talking about, in the end there, we're talking about the Roman Empire, that empire of iron. At least, you know, we know that much. But as to all the details, I'm sure that all the details are there in history and perhaps recorded, and we'll find those as we go through. I'm going to spend a little more time when I get done with our session today and see what else I can dig out, ferret out, and find. It's just a continual thing here to ferret out all the details, though I don't believe all of the details are important. We have the details that we do understand. Daniel 11, verse 17, "He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do. He shall give him to the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither be for him." Well, yeah, here's something that really needs to be ferreted out to have an understanding of who this is, who the she is, and perhaps we'll get an interpretation in the scripture here itself. "After this shall he turn his face to the isles, and shall take many, but a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease without his own reproach. He shall cause it to turn upon him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Then shall stand up in his state a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle." So we're getting details here. And I mean, to this day, who is the raiser of taxes? You know, and I've heard some things by someone else that is a self-proclaimed, prophecy teacher of the day. I don't claim myself as a prophecy teacher. I'm just someone here who's trying to understand as best he can, and I won't settle on anything unless the word of our Heavenly Father settles it. But we got a lot of details in here, and a lot of these details could fit a lot of different people in a lot of different times. So I can see why a lot of the so-called prophecy pundits would dig in here and look for things that they could perhaps fit into the newspaper exegesis of our day. But I'm not sure that any of this is about our day. And I'm not sure it is. I'm not sure it isn't. Because the details here are way too numerous without very many of them being explicit or named or giving who exactly we're talking about. We just get some characteristics, because he goes on here in chapter 21, "And in his state shall stand up a vile person." You know, a lot of people are vile, you know. We've had vile people in the presidency here in the United States, and vile people all over the place in government, if you come to mind immediately, "to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries, and with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant." Yea, also the prince of the covenant. So we have the prince of the covenant thrown in there. Is this a reference to the Messiah? And it says, "And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, and shall come up, and shall become strong with a small people, and he shall peaceably even upon, and he shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. and he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great mighty army, but he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' heart shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. But it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return to his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. Oh, wow. And for the ships of Chittim, and I should know who Chittim is, it would be hence an islander in the, that is, the Greeks or Romans on the shores opposite Palestine, Chittim or Kittim. And the ships of Kittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do, he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. They shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. You know what? This is what I believe that Yahushua was referring to, because this is absolutely a reference to arms standing and polluting the sanctuary. And it says of strength, so they're using the strength of arms that pollute the sanctuary. And Yahushua said, when you see Jerusalem compassed about by armies, and then he said, the abomination that maketh desolate, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And I believe this is Daniel is foretelling very minute, but not very concise. Well, concise, but he's not really giving us the details of who is the who is who, in naming the armies of the south and the raiser of taxes. And, you know, I mean, the details are just so numerous and it moves so quickly that we can't really tell who is who until we get to something huge like this that we can see. The arms that shall stand on his part shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. So there's someone that's going to use the strength of arms to pollute the sanctuary, take away the daily, and shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. So a definite reference to what we know happened and was culminated in 70 AD. We'll be back after these brief messages. Don't go anywhere.